Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jay Leno on the Tonight Show once in a while has a segment called Jaywalkers. And he goes out on the street, or he sends somebody out on the street, and they ask questions. Real hard questions. Questions such as, who's the Vice President of the United States? And depending on the answer, which is probably more than likely wrong, he then asks the question, who is Dick Cheney? And he gets another dumb answer. I was wondering, what if Jay Leno or somebody went out on the street and asked the simple question, who is God? Who is God? What kind of answers would we get with that question? Answers of, he's a really big guy. Or an answer of, a superior being somewhere out there in the universe, but I don't know. Or maybe an answer that says, there is no God. Or an answer that says, money is my God. As I was working on today's message, I had to choose between, of course this is kind of maybe a secret or maybe it's not, choose between two texts. The one that was just read out of Colossians, and the one from Acts 17, where Paul is before the men of Athens, the philosophers. And I chose one text, and then I changed my mind and went back to the Acts text. Because they both deal with, who is God? I'd like to focus more on the Acts text, and I'm going to read it now. Before I go into it, Acts 17:22 and following, it goes, Paul stood before the court of Mars Hill and said, Men of Athens, I see how very religious you are in every way. As I went through your city and saw the things you worship, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Now I'm telling you about what you don't know and yet worship. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and doesn't live in temples made of human hands. He isn't served by human hands as if he needed anything. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything. For one man, he made every nation to have the people live all over the earth, setting the times allotted to them and the boundaries they live in. That they should look for God and perhaps feel their way to Him and find Him. He is never far from any one of us because we live and move and are in Him. As some of your poets have said, you see, we are His children. Now, we're God's children. We shouldn't think God is like gold, silver, or stone carved by man's art or imagination. Would everyone here from Athens, Greece, please stand up. I don't see anyone standing. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if you're worshiping here in Kramer Chapel, I'm pretty sure that you don't have an altar in your home to an unknown God. As we gather here, we'd never even think of it. We would never even have that thought in our minds because we come here to worship the triune God. We say it every day. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We gather in the triune God. There's no question in our minds who the center of our worship is. There's no doubt in our minds who the center of our daily lives is. So with this in mind, we might have to ask, how does this text relate to us today? The text of Acts that Paul is speaking to the men of Athens. He's on his second missionary journey. He's before the philosophers. He's in Athens. How does this relate to us today? We're not from Athens. And we don't have altars to nondescript gods. How does it relate? Well, it does relate. It relates to the fact that we will, if we haven't already, run into people who either don't believe in God or don't believe in the one true God. There are those religious people that perhaps, or those non-religious people as well, out in the world. You know the ones who build their little altars in life so they can believe in something they consider very religious? Just in case there is a God out there, I have to have something to believe in. Or at least believe in something, even if it's myself. After all, you've heard it, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. That's the way the world thinks. It's said that our nation, perhaps the world, is looking more and more religious every day. We could probably even say after 9/11 for sure. We just don't put a name on it, so no one gets offended and no one's creativity is stifled. Sad, isn't it? So as you can see, there is work to be done. Paul had to confront the men of Athens with the truth, and we must be willing to confront those around us with the same truth. As we look at the text, Paul proclaims exactly who the one true God is. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, he says. Paul goes on to witness that God is not a God who lives in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needs anything. He is the God who has given man life and breath. He has given you everything, even the next breath of air. Paul is giving this unknown God an identity, even a name, God the Creator. If we turn our attention to the other lesson for today in Colossians 1:16, it says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him, for him." As mentioned, this is referring to Christ. This, of course, takes us back into the text of Acts. "For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also your own poets have said this, for we are also his offspring. In the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." Paul, using the men of Athens' own words, words that they would relate to, that they would understand, so that he could bring his point of the one true God to them. I remember in my first parish in Leadville, Colorado, on a Sunday morning, I'd just gotten home to change my clothes. I had just basically taken my tab out of the collar. A knock comes on the door, and it's a Jehovah's Witness. And there is a name tag on the door that says Reverend Richard J. Davis, Lutheran minister. And he says, "Can I tell you the truth?" And I knew right away what he was going to say. And I said, "I tell you what, I'll give you 5 minutes if you give me 5 minutes." He said, "Okay." So I gave him this 5 minutes. And then after his 5 minutes, he was ready to leave. And I said, no, you told me I could have 5 minutes. And so he stood there and he said, "Okay." And I said, "Now your Bible says this, but the original language says this." As I was working on this text, that incident came to my mind, that where Paul used the words for the men of Athens, their poets, to prove to them the one true God, not the God of the unknown. I did the same. Of course, that totally threw him off of his witnessing for the day. But the text does relate to each and every one of us. And Paul goes on into our text and says, while God overlooked times when people were ignorant, he now tells them everywhere, to be sorry for their sins. Because he has sent a day when he is going to have a man judge the world with justice. He appointed him for this. And by raising him from the dead, has given everyone a good reason to believe. Raising him from the dead, a reason to believe. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, the first among the dead, to become alive, that he may be first in everything. We just celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. What a glorious time to reaffirm in whom we believe. I believe in the one true God. We can possibly hear Paul yelling this in this passage to the men of Athens. A statement we make every day in our lives as we live our lives for him. God who? Does it matter? Yes, it does matter in what God we believe. But not according to a young man who spoke out in a family gathering. Everyone in the family was either Lutheran or a member of another Christian denomination, except for this one young man. He was a well-educated person who loved to engage family members in debates over politics and religion. You know the type, the kind that just likes to get a rise out of you, maybe spar with you a little bit just to see how you answer certain questions. Well, this was this young man. Perhaps you know someone like this. He makes the statement, the actual name of God isn't really important here. He said, what's important is the understanding that God exists. Whether you call him or her Buddha, Jesus, or Mother Earth, isn't really important. Someone else in the family takes the bait and begins the sparring and says, I don't want to argue religion, countered this family member, but there is only one name in heaven and on earth by which we are saved, Jesus Christ. Of course, that is just what the young man wanted to hear. He says, that's my point, he said. You Christians are always shouting that Jesus is the only way to heaven. How narrow-minded is that? Think of all those ancient religions. Do you think God is going to toss them out? It's pretty arrogant of Christians to think theirs is the only way. I don't think God is that cruel. If salvation is so important, God wouldn't provide just one way to get there. There are probably many roads that lead to salvation. Of course, this was the other family member's opportunity to speak up. And they said, actually, I don't think it's cruel of God at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. God loves us so much, he doesn't leave us guessing as to which way is the right way. He clearly sets before us the way to eternal life. How cruel would it be for God to put up so many doors and say, I hope you get the right one. Instead, he makes it abundantly clear. There can be no mistake. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But, concluded the family member, I don't want to argue with you. This is just food for thought. Men and women gathered here this morning, I bring you good news. We indeed do not worship the unknown God. We have a God who created us, redeemed us, and continues to keep us in his grace, mercy, and love. Amen.